Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Que Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly. And in these next trips, may He also watch over you and keep you from all danger, and also all those that will be accompanying you. And good morning to all those who are present here as well, and those who are seeing us through the satellite Amazonas or the internet in the different countries. There in Monterrey, in the congregation that the Reverend Epifanio Lopez pastors, where the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín is, and all those who will be then listening and reading this activity. We express our most sincere condolences for the departure of our brother Luis Herrera there in San Carlos, in Cojedes State, Venezuela. To his wife, Roquelina, and his daughters, Rosalind and Jorbelin, and the grandchildren, and the rest of the family members of our brother Luis Herrera. Cojedes is the state of Cojedes in Venezuela, where a brother departed yesterday, a great collaborator and faithful believer of the divine program pertaining to this end time, which we have the hope that every believer in the Lord will resurrect. And we will see our brother Luis Herrera again soon, according to what Jesus told us there in the Gospel according to John in chapter 5, verses 24 and on, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And our brother Luis Herrera will be one of those who will hear the voice of the resurrection and will come back again in that glorified and eternal body that he promised for all his children. So, to all the relatives, brothers and sisters of our brother Luis Herrera, his wife, his daughters, his grandchildren and other relatives, and the brethren where he congregates, be comforted with those words, and also with those of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and on, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from 49 and on, where the Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, that they will resurrect. And that promise is for our brother Luis Enrique. He will resurrect. Be comforted by these words. It tells us in the Gospel according to Matthew, which is the scripture that our brother William used in this message that we will be watching and listening to, the authority of the Son of God, preached April 4th, 2003, in Bogotá, Colombia.
Pero los once
Then the 11, chapter 28, verse 16 of the Gospel according to Matthew. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And there he writes, Revelation 11, verse 15. You may please be seated. The authority of the Son of God. In the Gospel according to Matthew, we also find there in chapter 8, verse 23, to 27, it says, And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the man marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And there he draws a Star of David. And he writes Revelation 5 and also Revelation 10, 1 to 11. And also 11, 3 to 6. And 14, 14 to 20. And 19, 11 to 21. And in a writing of a Bible study where they placed that scripture, there he writes, He had absolute power over all creation, the Son of Man, that is Jesus. And that is how the Son of Man in his second coming will be. In the message, the image preached on February 28, 1982, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, it says, Jesus of Nazareth had authority over all nature. Jesus of Nazareth, we can see him talking to a fig tree. Many people, perhaps, who heard him speak to that fig tree at that time, might say, this man is insane, talking to a tree. But he knew what he was doing. He spoke to it. And according to what he spoke, that is how it happened. He cursed that fig tree with the words, May no one eat of you hereafter forever. That fig tree could never bear fruit again. And when there is something on earth that will not bear fruit, it is best that it cease to exist. And look at that scripture there of Mark on the 11th chapter. On the 12th verse, which was this occasion of the fig tree, but look at what he wrote there. It is in this other Bible as well. Let us have it here. Notice, Mark 11, verse 12, he says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet." And in this one he writes, "He sought," or remnant, "first fruits." That is, he searched. He sought, or remnant, new fruits. "And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat from of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." And he writes above there, "It is necessary to have fruit for Christ at all times." It is necessary to have fruit for Christ at all times. It is necessary to have fruit for Christ at all times. Now, further down, on verse 18, look, it says, "And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And there he draws the Star of David. And below, there under, at least in this Bible, which is this version, there on verse 23, below he writes, Fig tree equals Israel. Mountain equals kingdom. The kingdom of the Gentiles will be removed as the one of Israel was removed. Fig tree equals Israel. Mountain equals kingdom. And in between parentheses, the kingdom of the Gentiles will be removed as the one of Israel was removed. He continues saying on verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." And there he draws another Star of David. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." And there he draws another Star of David. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, when the fig tree received that curse, it had received a divine word, but it was a divine word of cursing. That divine word would make it so that it would never bear fruit again. And already the next day, when the disciples passed once again in front of that fig tree, they marveled and say, "Look, the fig tree that you cursed yesterday has been drying up from the roots." Now notice, in Luke, there he tells us on the parable, Luke 13. The parable of the barren fig tree. Luke 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Now, that is what will happen, it says. Let us see where, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, in the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus says there that he will not find it. That which here with that fig tree, which represents Israel, Luke 18, let us see here. Luke 18, verse 6, it says, "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Will they believe in his second coming? Brother William wrote that there. With a question mark, will they believe in his second coming? And there he writes a series of scriptures. Revelation 1, 7, 6, verse 10. 10, 1 to 11. 11, 3 to 7, and 7, verse 2. And he draws a little cornerstone on the ages. Now, let us continue in the Gospel according to Luke on chapter 13. And then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbered it the ground? And he writes there, The fig tree equals Israel. And he writes, the 3 years equals 3 years of ministry of Jesus already had. The fig tree equals Israel. The 3 year equals 3 years of ministry of Jesus that he had. In other words, he already had 3 years of ministry. And again, he writes on the side in between, that is, between the two columns of scriptures, There in the middle, he writes again, 3 years of the ministry of Jesus. He continues to say in verse 8, and he answering said unto them, Lord, let it alone this year also. And he writes, fourth year, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And above he writes, of that fourth year, Jesus fulfilled 6 months. And there are 6 months left, which is the fourth year of the 70th week. Let me read it again. The writing of that fourth year, there writes 4 years. Of that fourth year, Jesus fulfilled 6 months, and there are 6 months left, which is the fourth year of the 70th week. That reminds me when we were in school, and we would tell the teacher, teacher, don't go too fast. Can you repeat it again? We are the same way, like in school, waiting a little bit because some write a little slower. Although we're going to have it later on, but many wants to take it written already. But what they can do, one recommendation, that you write in the notebook quickly, just like that. And then with time at home, you write it carefully in the Bible. And in that way, you can hasten a bit. That is for those that are a little slower. And he continues to say in verse 9, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now notice all that teaching there. And he goes on to say, our brother William, hearing the message, the Lord Jesus said to him, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would not only do this of the fig tree, but you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. In the message, perfect faith, it tells us there, on page 12, paragraph 73, the Reverend William Branham says, oh, could you compare a Christian today with them Christians of long ago? How them disciples walked in the power of the Spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost, do it, just a prisoner, as he preached on the other night, a prisoner to the word and will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? It's going to. Going back. Brother Branham says, it's going to come back. That's right. God is on its road now, I believe. In the message, birth pain, he also tells us about this part, about this subject as well, about that church bride, on page 29 of the message, birth pains, it says, she's in pain. That's what's the matter. She's going to give birth. She must make her choice. The handwriting is on the wall. We see the earth is just about ready to go. That's right. And we see the church. She's so rotten. She's about ready to go. And the birth pain is all over it, on both the world and the church. And there's about to be a new world born and a new church born to go to it for the millennium. We know that. And he writes, a new church will be born for the millennium. And there also he writes on the side, a new church will be born. And also writes there, make your choice. There in a new world born and a new church born, he had also drawn a cornerstone. Now he continued to say here, in perfect faith, for the word identified himself, what he was, and the same word identifies us. There he also writes, a church like the apostolic one is coming. See, if any man loves me, he keeps my commandments. And if he says he loves me and keep not my commandments, then all of them, he's a liar, and the truth not even in him. I don't believe all. Well, then, that you're just an unbeliever, that's all. If the Bible said so, that makes it right. That settles it eternally. What the Bible said is the truth. There he writes, an unbeliever. Now, notice where he said to us, if ye abide in me, and my word in you, St. John 15, if ye abide in me, see, have faith in him. Ye abide in me, and my word abides in you, then you ask what you will. And he writes, if you abide in me, equals to have faith in him. Now, see, he knew who he was. Therefore, he had faith. And he writes, knowing who he is, in order to have faith, faith could produce when he knew what he was. Look, that is very great. Because to have, and by having that knowledge, then faith could work. Now, if ye abide in me, and my word in you, then you know who you are. Ask what you will, it will be given to you. And there he writes as well, faith could work when he knew what he was. And remember when he said, when the bride recognizes her position, that is in the book of quotations, when the bride recognizes what she is, then the rapture will occur. If you can find it, wouldn't that be wonderful tonight? If everybody came in that prayer line, say, I am Christian. I have no condemnation. I know that my heart condemns me not. Something tells me that tonight's the end of my suffering that you're going to do. You go away here with something. No matter how much you come in emotion, how much you do, it won't work until that perfect faith has manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. And when it's there, then nothing's going to shake you from it. And there he writes, if you abide in me, página 107 del libro de citas, of the Book of Quotations,
párrafo 931,
paragraph 931.
El nuevo nacimiento es una
revelación. The new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony? There on the side, he draws a cornerstone and an arrow toward the cornerstone and the ages below. In harmony, and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did making the Word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position. And there he draws toward the cornerstone, a drawing of a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. It will be one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. And there he draws a cornerstone and he writes, adoption. And above, he writes, the new birth. And also writes, when the church recognizes her position. Now, he goes on to say, I'm reading from the message, the image of our brother William Soto. Jesus was speaking to them about the divine authority, about the divine lordship that He has given man, which Adam lost, but Jesus of Nazareth had it in His hands. In the message, He that is in you, on page 36, it says, when He said to Moses, speak to the rock, don't smite it. That meant, speak, don't smite it. See, you got to obey what He says do. But no man can do nothing in himself. He's got to hear it first from God. And there he draws a Star of David and he writes Revelation 11, 3-6. Those are the two olive trees, ministries of Moses and Elisha. Now the Word of God promised that He lives, and because He lives, you live. He promised that the works that I do shall you also. The same things, only more of it, will you do, because I go to the Father. He conquered all things. And our brother William continues saying, and that authority, that divine power, can only be used by faith, by using faith and possessing the faith of God. One can make use of that divine authority that God has given to the human being, of which also in the message here, the one we were reading of the perfect faith, on page 7, he tells us, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Then when God, by His Word, not by what somebody else did, somebody else said, but by what God's Word said, He said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be true. And He writes, faith is a substance, and it comes by hearing the Word. Now, you can see somebody else do something by a work or act of God, or a promise of God. And many of them say, I can do that too. It's an imagination, And when they do, you find them wrecked up out there somewhere. It's got to be a substance. Now, that is potentially a faith. This is something that can bring you to a faith, is potentially. Like, if you ask me for an oak tree and I give you a corn, potentially you have an oak tree, but it still hasn't produced itself yet. But when it really brings itself out, it is an oak tree. And when you imagine that God does this, but when it's revealed to you, it's a faith then, a perfect faith that cannot fail. And he writes, when it's revealed, then it's faith. That's the reason those visions are so tremendous to me, because it's been proved right every time. See? And I know that he promised that. And he promised it in his word, and here he comes and promised it for this day. Therefore, you know where you're standing when he said so. See? That gives me a faith, because he never does nothing contrary to his written word. See? And if it was contrary to the word, I couldn't have faith in it. Brings it right back again to the word. See? Faith in hearing the word of God. You must hear the word. God's word is that all-sufficient word. It's all you have need of. Is this word. Now, faith being the substance, and in there where we find out in Hebrews what faith was, and what those did who had faith. See? There is many times that people have faith today, and tomorrow they haven't got it. The next day there is something, and something else. But when God once anchors it, and you see it, there's nothing ever going to make you move from it. And he writes, when you can see it, you're just poking, reaching, presuming, and presume is to venture without authority. You're just trying this. And he writes there below, until you reach that place, you will be trying things. And you're trying this and going this way and run here and run there. And he writes above, presume equals to venture without authority. There's a writing that we have read that lest when they come at the end, they be rejected. Something like that. Because they do not know the way. Notice, here he talks about this as well. And you're trying this and going this way and run here and run there, you haven't got the faith yet. But when that is what we call faith. I want you to get this now. We, the church, has got to lift itself in the power of God. And there he writes, the church has to lift herself in the power of God. How? We are too close to the end now. And I believe the church is in condition where we can teach it a little deeper things. And rub some of this make-believe out, see, and get into something real, see. It's got to be something that you know. And there he writes, polish the tables. And he also writes, you have to know. And if you say, Brother Branham, that isn't the light. Yet, I know it's the light. And how do you know it's the light? I'm looking at it. Well, how do you know that you couldn't be wrong? My sight has always declared to me that that was light, see? And that's the reason I believe those visions, because it's always declared to me the truth, because it comes from the Word. Now notice how one of the many visions that the Reverend William Branham had, we are seeing it fulfilled in this end time. That vision that he saw that had not happened yet, and that there is one thing left, he says, that has not happened. And it is that little wooden room in the tent in which I would be praying for the sick there. That's one of the things that hasn't happened yet, says Brother Branham, a vision that was shown to him. Now notice that by faith, the chosen ones of God at this end time have been working for that to become a reality, because we are the hands of God, the feet. We are the mystical body of believers, and the physical part is our part. In other words, to have that place, the temple, the place. For him, his presence. And we see that vision being fulfilled in our midst at this end time. So much so that we no longer walk in a vision, but in a reality. We already come in. We sit. We pray. We read the scriptures. We praise and glorify God. And we prepare ourselves to listen to His Word. We listen to His Word. And then we offer a song and a prayer to God for the blessings He has given us. The fulfillment of the vision being fulfilled in our midst. What He saw in a vision, we are touching and being part of the fulfillment of that vision. We are the reality of that vision. And there is where we know, and there is where faith moves. Faith works and goes there into those hidden mysteries of which He said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Well, God is giving us that rapturing faith. Where? In the fulfillment of a vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham. Now, he continues saying, see, then if he says it, that settles it. Now, when it's declared like that, there's no more guesswork. It's going to be. Then you hear it, thus saith the Lord. See? Because it's beyond the human thinking. It's up into the realm of the Lord's thinking. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Isaiah is the scripture that speaks about all of that. But you're standing here just as the vine, just as a branch producing the fruit that's in the vine. See, God uses man and man only. God doesn't use machinery. God doesn't use group of men. He doesn't use organizations. God uses individuals, always. And there he writes, God only uses man. In the message, since they have the scripture there for me, Isaiah 55, so you can write it down. 55 verse 8. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. And also in the scripture of if you found the place where he talks about reaching the end, that message, let us see if they send it to me so you can also have it there. It is in the one of souls that are in prison now, page 32. You cannot evade part of the path, because when you get there, you will be rejected. There is a way to get there. You cannot avoid that way. Now, he continues saying here in the message, The Sisyph Time, which was preached on March 28, 1982, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, it says, So, that book will return to the human race. And when that book returns to the human race, to the children of God, they can then do whatever they wish to do on this earth. They can then speak the word. They can do what they please, because it is their inheritance. Because each person can do what he wishes with his own, but the man who is wise with his own, with his property, always does the best he can do according to his understanding, and does the best according to his highest plans and purposes. And the highest plans and purposes that the children of God will have are the plans and purposes of God. In other words, we will already have there those thoughts of God in each child of God in all of its fullness. That book will come back to the hands of the children of God one day. And then you will see what will happen. Then the prophetic words will be fulfilled of what a group that will have the spoken word will do, because that will then be the group of heirs who will receive the title deed again and will be adopted in the kingdom of the Heavenly Father, which will be entrusted to them so that they rule over it, led by the Lord. Which in the Book of the Seals, Brother Branham tells us, on page 301, where he tells us, Now, we had him coming last night with his great sword to kill. We find out that he gets killed with the sword too, the sword of the Word. God's word, sharp two-edged sword, slay him. Put him right down. Wait till them seven thunders utter their voices to that group who really can take the word of God. Then he writes, Moses and Elijah with the elect can take the word of God and hand it there. It will slice and cut, and they can close the heavens. They can shut this or do that, whatever they want to. Revelation 11 and 19. He wrote that there. On this book above, he writes, the thunders and group that will cut. He will be slayed by the word that proceeds from his mouth. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. They could call for 100 billion tons of flies if they wanted to. Let us see here on this one as well, to read something that he wrote. Amen. Whatever they say is going to happen, because it's the word of God coming from the mouth of God. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. Yep, amen. God's always is his word, but he always uses man to work it. God could have called for them flies down there in Egypt, but he said, Moses, that's your job. I'll just tell you what to do, and you go do it. He fully done that, see? He could have chosen the sun to call them. He could cause the moon to call it, or the wind to call it, but he said, Moses. He chooses men. All right. Now, we find out here that this Satan, after being kicked out of heaven, incarnates himself in the beast. And now he is a beast. Antichrist, false prophet, and now beast. And given the name of death, and hell follows him. Fully Satan on his throne. And he writes, Amen. Oh my. On the earth, he is Satan, representative on the earth. That he now is head of the kingdoms of the world. And he writes, Satan incarnate, the throne equals a man. That he now is the head of the kingdoms of the world, the very same kingdoms that he offered to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 4. Satan now becomes a full king. Now, this happens later on. He is a false prophet now. He will become beast after a while, and there he writes, in the future. And let us stop here for a moment and pass on to 303. Page 303 says, Watch, rides a pale horse as he appears on his ride, this last ride. He's on his last now. Now, that is not in our day, that will be on down. It's the seal foretold. Then he writes, the fourth seal foretold future. Because, see, the church has done gone up when this happens. When Christ appears here on earth, this fellow appears and becomes completely the devil, from Antichrist all the way down through false prophet, then into the beast, the devil himself. And he's riding on a pale horse, colored all up and mixed with all kinds of colors, to make him pale and deadly. Now he continues saying on 301, After a while, when he breaks his covenant there with the Jews, you know how. All right. Notice now, he will be given a heart of a beast. And there he writes, the covenant. At that time, and Satan will incarnate himself, because when the church goes up, Satan is cast out. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And he draws an arrow towards the cornerstone. Notice, when the church goes up to where? To the age of the cornerstone. There is when Satan will be cast out and is cast out. It is done then. All his accusation is done. Because remember that when you go up to the cornerstone and you come into that dispensation, the dispensation of grace closes. Then the devil is cast down to earth. He is no longer there, doing that work as the accuser, as the prosecuting attorney. And there he writes, also on that paragraph on the side, on the left side, Heart of the Beast, Revelation 12, 1 to 17. There is where he says, look, as long as the intercessor is still on the throne, Satan can stand there and accuse, because he is the attorney of the other side. Now, our brother William continues to say here, and the words will be fulfilled. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He will give the kingdom to his children, and he will give it to them when he gives them the title deed in their hand. When we go to the scriptures, to the book of Revelation, and we see the things that will be done there, and we see the power and authority that certain people will have, when we see those ministries that will be operating and that will have authority over the heavens and over the earth, that is none other than the title deed back in the hands of someone who will be able to use it. That will be adoption in the book of the seals on page 407. He tells us, let us see on this other one as well. On page 407, we all know that that was the chapter that every scholar, every person goes to talk about the tribulation period. It comes out of the 24th chapter of Matthew, for we know that this sixth seal is the judgment seal. It's the judgment seal exactly what it is. Now, see, the Antichrist, right, see the church go, now it's finished, goes up. Then we see the martyrs of the Jews back there under the altar. And above there he writes, the prophets are the judgment of God. And he also writes, sixth seal equals the judgment seal. Now, here is the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people who are out of this tribulation judgment will come forth the 144,000 redeemed Jews. I'll prove to you they are Jews and not Gentiles. They have nothing to do with the bride, not a thing. The bride, we don't see the bride is gone. You can't place that anywhere else. Don't come back again until the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now notice, for the sixth seal is the judgment seal of the word. And there he writes, God gave all the judgment to Jesus. And Jesus gives all the judgment of the sixth seal to Moses and Elijah, his angel. And also on 430 of the Book of the Seals. It says, blackness, darkness, Egypt. Blackness, darkness. God delivering Jesus at the cross. In this one he writes, Jesus at the cross. Just before he brought him up from the resurrection, first, darkness. Sun went down in the middle of the day, and stars wouldn't shine. 2 days from then, he was going to raise him up with a mighty triumph. After the sun and moon and stars and everything in Egypt, all this taking place, he delivered Israel to the promised land. Here it is, in the tribulation period, and here stand them prophets to who has the control of the word that God gives them. The word that God gives them. They can only speak as God gives them the word. He writes, they speak as God gives them the word. And there, he writes in the middle, on this one he writes, Revelation 11, 15 to 19. And here he writes, adopted ministries on Mount Zion. In other words, in the church of the Lord. And he also writes, Moses and Elijah have the title deed. Now there are no gods. They're temporarily, amateurly, they are. Because Jesus said they were. Said, you call them gods, who the word of God came. But look, that's the one that God brings the word to, and when they speak it, it happens. That's all. And here, he's with a commission from God to smite the earth. Whatever he wants to, oh my, stop the heavens. And he does. What's the matter? He is fixing to take the 144,000 out for redemption, out of the book of redemption. And that's under the seal of redemption, in the sixth seal. That's it, my dear friends. That's that sixth seal, being so mysteriously. And he writes, the sixth seal equals the seal of redemption. And also, the 144,000 are in the book of redemption. And here, look, on page 364 of this book of the seals, 364, there on the left side, between the two last paragraphs, there he writes, control of nature, Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11, 3-7, and 7 verse 2. And 14 to 20. In this message that we were reading a few minutes ago, he that is in you, on page 31 and 32. Look, I missed this one. Look in the book of the seals. Also on 364, there he also writes next to it in the last paragraph, adapted. On top, he had written Revelation 10:1-11 and 7:1-11, and he writes adapted. And below, further below, he writes whenever they want to, because we have read there, and here he is with a commission from God to smite the earth whenever he wants to. And that is where he writes, whenever they want to. We were missing this one. Now notice, in this message, on page 29, he that is in you, it says, greater was he that was in Joshua than the sun. And Joshua was a man, sin born, like you and I. And there he writes, Joshua born in sin. And greater was he that was in Joshua and in the sun that was running by the commandment of God. God commanded that sun to shine and turn itself around, and it's governed and controlled by the laws of God. But greater was he that was in Joshua. There he draws a Star of David. Then the law of God was, and there he writes Joshua on the side, because the Creator himself was in Joshua. When Joshua looked up to the sun and said, you stand there where you're at, and moon, you hang there where you're at, till I finish this battle. It was a commandment there. And the sun and the moon obeyed him. For he that was in Joshua was greater than the sun and the moon. He that was in Joshua. And he writes Revelation 11:3-6. He that was in Moses was greater than Egypt. Egypt was the mighty armies of the world. They had the world conquered at that time. But greater was he that was in Moses than Egypt was, because Moses overcame Egypt. Greater was he that was in Moses than even nature itself. Did you ever think that God took his words and gave it to Moses and said, go out there and command the sun doesn't shine? The sun was pitch dark. Is that right? He can make the sun to shine and the clouds to go back. Or he can make the sun to be black. He is God. He can do whatever he wishes to. And he is in the believing child. Amen. That's it. There wasn't a flea in sight. It might have been winter time. There's no flies. But God said to Moses, go, speak my word, and I'll put in your mind what to say. Then he writes, in the mind of Moses. And you go out there and pick up some dirt off the ground and throw it up into the air, the dust. And he said, let there be fleas. And fleas was crawling probably several inches deep all over the ground in a few hours. Is that right? The Creator. There wasn't any frogs. So he stretched out his rod and said, let there be frogs. And they were everywhere piled up till the whole land was stinking. Is that right? When he came to the Red Sea and it was in his way, God said, speak to the sea. Remember, see, control over nature. And Moses spoke to the sea. And greater is he that was in Moses than the sea was itself. Is that right? Oh my. Now, you see, greater was he that was in Moses than he that's in the world. Greater is he that was in Moses than any nature there is in the world. He commanded nature. And whatever God told him to say, he said it, and that's the way it was. And there he draws a Star of David, and he writes Revelation 11:3-6, and 10, 8 to 11. He goes on to say, that will be adoption. That will be the title deed on earth again. Well, but before that time comes, everything will move in such a way that before the great tribulation comes, there will be people here who will enjoy all the benefits of the title deed back to the human race. There will be the time where it's known as the manifestation of the third pool in all of its fullness, where there will be no limit as the things that will take place. That will be none other than the title deed back to the human race to do what God says must be done in these final days. In the message, let us see here, possessing all things, and also let us see where I placed this writing, which also, here it is. Notice. In this Bible study, in that scripture of Revelation 21, verse 7, which was placed there for him, which says, Revelation 21, 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And he writes there, another son of God will be adopted, who is the angel of Jesus. Just as the angel of the Lord was adopted, the angel of the covenant, made flesh in Jesus. And thus he receives the little white stone with the new name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he receives authority over all the nations to rule them, govern them, in between parentheses, govern them with a rod of iron. And judgment will fall upon them. And he will sit with the Lord Jesus Christ on his throne, the throne of David. Another son of God, he says there. Now, notice, in this message, possessing all things, on page 18, it says, I'm an heir of divine healing. I'm an heir of joy. Got a right to be happy. So what makes you so happy? I got a right to be. How did you know? Because I am an heir to it. Amen. Woo. Now I feel religious. Yes. I am an heir to the happiness. I am an heir to joy. I'm an heir to peace. I'm an heir to eternal life. I'm an heir to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm an heir to every evidence it's God. There in your mind and in your heart, you can go on saying it. I am an heir to all of that. Notice that I am there. I'm an heir to the authority of God. And he writes, heir to all the authority of God. Adam lost it. Christ recovered it for us. Amen. Who made you that? Not me. He did. Every one of you is an heir to the same thing. An heir to a throne. He that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne. I have overcome and sit on my Father's throne. Revelation 3:21. Amen. An heir of all things. Not just one thing, all things. Everything's under your feet. Even death is under your feet. Grave is under your feet. Hell is under your feet. Sin is under your feet. Everything is under your feet. You're an heir. You are dead and your life is hid in God through Jesus Christ. And you rose again to eternal life and sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh my. Call us anything you want to. Call us what you want to. Say we're crazy if you want to. But we are heirs. Heirs to what? All things. And he writes, heir. Are you an heir to the Branham Tabernacle? No, I am an heir to all things, both seen, present, future, to everything. I'm an heir to it. And every sin and wickedness has been put under my feet by the grace of Jesus Christ. He rose on Easter morning, triumphed over the death, hell, and the grave, and made me an heir, and said, wait yonder, and I'll give you the promise. And his anointed authoritative servant said, the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to them that's far off. And he writes, Pentecost today. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call, I'm an heir. Amen. Amen. Jesus proved it to us on his resurrection. Oh my. When we've entered that battleground between death and life. I'm a sinner, Brother Branham. You don't have to be. You're a sinner because you desire to be. You don't have to be. The debt's already paid. Brother Branham, I wish I had joy. You can have it. You're just letting Satan rob you from the privileges that Christ died for. I am an heir to it. It's all mine. Everything he died for belongs to me, belongs to you. We're his children. We're heirs of it. Everything that he died for. Now notice, we are heirs to everything, but then, that isn't enough. There has to be a claim over all that inheritance. So, he comes and carries out that claiming work. Of what? Of everything that belongs to us. Everything is ours. Now notice, what he goes on to say here. This is a very decisive time because everything that will happen in heaven and on earth depends on this time. The fulfillment of all the promises God has made in the scriptures depends on this time and on what will happen at this time. All the great miracles that will happen on this earth depend on this decisive time. Notice on earth, which is going to have a change. Notice on page 140 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1251, he tells us, Watch. The third sign he gave him was not related to his occupation, nor either was it related to his person, his third sign. Notice, the first two signs related to him, himself, and his occupation. And they was the only two signs that the Bible says that had a voice. The other sign didn't have a voice. But the two signs that was given from his own person and to his people had voices. But the third sign, now notice, it was given, the sign. The third sign was the sign of death. And above he writes, the last sign equals death. Water turned into blood. If your blood would turn to water, then you would die. But the other two had voices of prophecy. I hope you're reading now between lines what I'm saying. But the other two signs had voices of prophecy to Israel concerning their future. Now, to you that was up on the mountain not long ago, when the rocks was thrown up. Now, he was going to change nature to make it work for them. And he writes there, Revelation 11, 3-6. Which is what we see there in the book of the seals. On page 434, where it tells us, that's the reason we're in travail, Christ to bring forth the bride. Everything is travailing and groaning. See, there is something fixing to happen. And this sixth plague lets her go. That portion that we read, have it with this. That sign. Now look. Notice the sixth seal. He says, brother, the earthquake burst open. And the stars shake, volcanics will come forth, and the earth will renew itself. New lava will break forth from the center of the earth, as she'll crumble all around and around and around, when she spins out in yonder. The bride with birth pains equals the sixth seal leads to that, to the birth. And I tell you one morning, and he writes, in the morning, when Jesus and his bride comes back to the earth, there will be a paradise of God there. That's, oh my, them old warriors of the battle. Walk down through there with their friends and loved ones. The anthems will fill the air of an angelic host. Oh, it was well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord that's been prepared for you, like you should have had back there before Eve started the ball a rolling in sin. Amen. Our brother William goes on to say, I think, from what we have spoken, we can see why in the midst of the Gentile bride, in the midst of the wife of the Lamb, there will be a time of the manifestation of the power of God, limitless. But it will say that it will be in a time where there will be no more blood on the mercy seat of the temple which is in heaven. In the book of the ages, on page 24, the book of the ages unedited, and also in this one. Let us see there what he writes to us. It says, do you see it? The Lamb, the high priest holding his blood as an atonement on the mercy seat for our sins, is the Lord God Almighty. That is his present in office. And he writes, Lamb of God, priest. And he writes in this one, the mercy seat. That is what he's doing now, pleading his blood for our sins. But one day, that lamb will become the lion of the tribe of Judah. And in this one he writes, Lamb, Lion. And here he writes, Lion of Judah, King. Revelation 11:15-18. And 6:12-17. He will come forth in power and glory and take his authority to reign as king. He is the coming king of this earth. Of course, that does not say he is not king now, for he is our king, king of the saints. Right now, it is a spiritual kingdom. It is not of this world system, even as we are not of this world. That's the reason we act different from the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus said there in the prayer of chapter 17 of the Gospel according to John, keep them from the world, watch over them, keep them, he said. Our citizenship is in heaven. We reflect the spirit of the world of our rebirth. And he writes, the theophany, sixth dimension, where Jesus is the king. That is why our women do not dress in man's clothing, or cut the hairs, or use all those cosmetics and other things that the world likes so much. That is why our men don't drink and smoke and carry on in sin. Our dominion is the dominion over sin, and it is in force through the power that is in the Spirit of Christ that indwells us. Every kingdom on earth is going to be torn down, but ours will remain. And in the book of the seals, on page 106, it says, notice, here he comes, leaves the throne as an intercessor, as a slain lamb, to become a lion, king, to bring the whole world into judgment that's rejected. Our kinsman redeemer then is king over all. Why? He's got the title deed of redemption. It's all lays within his hands. I'm glad I know him, see? Then claims his inheritance. That's the church, the bride. He claims it. What does he do then? He disposes of his contestant, Satan. And he writes, he has the title, King Lion. He throws him into a lake of fire with all those who was inspired by Satan to reject his word of redemption. He is king now. Mercy is still on the throne. Don't you reject his offer. And in this other one he writes, it is in the future. And in this one, also above in the paragraph we started to read, notice, next to there he writes, throne of judgment, lion, judge. See, writers know just who you are. And now his contestant, who has given him trouble for 2,000 years, claiming, I can do with them what I want to. I still have them, they're mine. They forfeit the title back there. But he's the king's man redeemer. He said he is back here making intercession now, but someday, he says, I'll put them in the grave. But he told the church, I'll bring you out, see? But first, I've got to be an intercessor. Now he comes forth, steps out from eternity back yonder off the throne of the Father, where he sat as an intercessor. Now he comes to be king, all rule all nations with a rod of iron. Judgment is set. And he writes, King Lion. Oh, brother, our kingsman redeemer holds it all. That's right. Yes, sir. What does he do? He calls that contestant's hand Satan. They're mine now. I've raised them up from the grave. And he takes all the liars and the perverters of the word and all like that with Satan and destroy them in the lake of fire. He writes, lake of fire. She's all over now. Throws them in a lake of fire. Oh my. And he writes, rod of iron, Revelation 11, 3 to 12, and 10, 8 to 11, and also 19 of the book of Revelation. Now, he continues saying here, the time of mercy in heaven will have already ended. And he tells us there about that time that was going to take place. And today, that time of mercy is over. It's already over. The power of God will be manifested, will be seen, because again the property of the children of God, the title deed, will go back to the hands of the children of God. That is why there can be a resurrection. There can also be a transformation of those who are alive. Without the return of the title deed, none of that will be possible, because in the title deed, is where all those blessings are, all those rights, the rights to eternal life, the rights to happiness, the rights to an eternal body, an incorruptible body. And in the message that we were reading, Possessing All Things, on page 26, he tells us, remember, every word is an anchor, steadfast and sure. Just lay your faith right upon it and don't move. Just stay there. Now, you can't lay it down there and then grab it up and say, I'll try it again. Lay it there. Stay right there with it. Yes, sir. Like Abel did. Die out to your own thoughts. Just say, God, it's your word. It's not what I think. It's your word. There it is. And Abel died on that rock, and that he'll touch you, just like he did sister there. Just so simple. We try to make it. We don't. Satan tries to make it so complicated. You know, say, oh, you know, that was for a day gone by, and all that. That's just unbelievers. But to you who believe, he's precious. Now, disallowed indeed, but he's a precious stone coming to a lively stone. You and I. Coming to a lively stone. We are stones cut out, molded, that fit so perfectly in the cornerstone. To put a figure in there, notice that the ones that fit right in there must be cornerstones. And they must have all three sides. Remember, the seventh seal is in a trifold manner. He is a precious stone coming to a lively stone, a precious stone, the chief cornerstone. Oh my, he that touches this stone is healed. That's all. Amen. And there he draws a Star of David. Now, aren't we thankful to the Lord? Just glad. I'm so glad that the Lord is God. Amen. So glad that He's a tender Father, full of mercy, honors His Word, keeping His covenant. And He draws a Star of David and He writes, covenant. Never forget it. He keeps His covenant. He has to. He's God. He made it. He is the fountain of all truth. See? There cannot be anything else but unadulterated truth all the time. Every word He speaks is infallible. And this is His word. And, oh God, let my faith be infallible in it. Amen. Then it can become infallible as the word is infallible. Then the word in that kind of faith will produce anything the word says it'll do. The word with that kind of faith will produce anything the word says it'll do. Amen. So, notice what he says here. So, cleanse me, Lord. And you can say this. Notice, they're in your heart. So, cleanse me, Lord. Try me. Cleanse me. Heal me. Protect me. Bless me. And give me your mercies is my prayer to God. Amen. Notice what that faith produces. Anything the word says, it'll do. But remember that there is a requirement, a condition, he says in this message, he that believes. Therefore, by being believers of those promises, then we go before Him confidently. Say to Him, Lord, try me, cleanse me, heal me, protect me, bless me, and give me Your mercies. And may You soon give me, Lord, that eternal and glorified body, which I need. This one has given me so many trouble, but it has been of a blessing. Because with it, I have been able to praise You, to glorify You. I have also been able to know You. I have made contact with eternal life, but Lord, I already need that eternal and glorified body. If this one, despite the problems and aches and pains, is good, because we can have this fellowship, how will it be with the new one? How will it be with that perfect, immortal, incorruptible, and glorified body? And our brother William continues saying there, if that book is not claimed, there cannot be the right to a perfect body. But after it is claimed, then everything the children of God have the right to will be claimed. The authority of the Son of God. There is so much to talk about under this subject, and we went through several places, but it is a beautiful subject, as are all the subjects and contents, because there is nothing sweeter like honey than the Word. What time is it? I think we can sing a song. If we have the song that Sister Ruth recently sang to us, and she can sing it, the one of Psalm 103. If he can sing it, we will accompany her in that beautiful song where it tells us about all the benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And notice how beautiful He tells us of all those benefits there. Cleansing, healing, protection, mercies, all those benefits that He gives us and has for us. He only asks one thing of you, that you believe Him. And believing, then ask Him. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who sanctifieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who sanctifieth thy mouth with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen and amen. The authority of the Son of God. Let's leave immediately with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.